Hello, my spontaneous people. This is Shiny Boy here, and welcome to My Culture Mind. This is the show where I talk about anything in the world of modern culture, from music, movies, TV, food, and all that stuff. And today, this is going to be a packed episode today. There is so much Marvel news. Deadpool, we have X-Men, we have the Marvels released on Disney Plus, and there is so much movie news, like Fantastic Forecast. There is so much going on that I have to, like, I really need to discuss this and all that. And there is going to be a lot of a little bit of Super Bowl stuff, and, like, you know, movie trailers, and also, and this is the music part, because usually I talk about movies and TV, but this is where I'm going to be talking about, like, you know, some music. And one of my music, my love for music is K-pop, and I'll be talking about Le Sserafim and what I hope to see, or what to hear from their upcoming album, their Easy album. So I'll talk about that in just a bit. But before I get started, if you are new to the podcast, thank you so much for listening today. This podcast is available on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Anchor, which is now called Spotify Podcast, wherever you can get your podcast. So without further ado, let's start off with some Super Bowl stuff. So the things that I want to talk about the Super Bowl is some of the trailers and things that stood out to me. I'm really not going to talk about the game. I don't like the result. mostly because I thought the game was good, but the ending I was a little upset about. But then again, I'm not, like, too upset, because all I cared about was the commercials and the... One thing that stood out to me as someone who is a SpongeBob fan is, like, you know, the sweet victory performance, which is not, it's not something that I, it's something that I needed, but something I not wanted, if that makes sense. Because what I wanted at the actual Super Bowl was the performance of, like, you know, someone doing sweet victory on stage, like, you know, even if it's not even just a little bit of the halftime show. I think all SpongeBob fans wanted a halftime show. But no, it's all about Usher. And I think, to be honest, like, I think after that performance, I noticed that a lot of Usher's view counts have been piling up. It's like, oh, I remember him. He was, like, you know, Usher's a good performer. He's a great performer and dance. And a good singer, and overall, he's one of the greatest in terms of performing. So I don't want to take that away from him. So again, that's just my opinion. I think Usher is a great performer, but I remember, if he doesn't perform "Yeah" with Lil Jon and Ludacris, I'll be totally upset. But they did, and it's a satisfying performance. I will say that. But for Sweet Victory, they did something on Nickelodeon where, like, okay, we're gonna dedicate the Super Bowl, but we're gonna do a little bit of, like, dedication to Steven Hilberg, who created SpongeBob. I hope that I pronounce his name correctly. But it was just a dedication to him and the Justice, because we got Sicko Mode and Maroon 5, and that was a bit upsetting. I was just like, I was waiting for that Super Bowl, and be like, okay, they're gonna do this, and the moment they did it, it was like a slap in the face. But anyways, I'm not gonna go this is gonna take too long about it, but all I can say is that it's better than I expected, so yeah. So let's talk about the Wicked trailer. And I know there's other trailers, Kingdom from the Planet of the Apes, and, I think Twisters. I did not pay attention to those trailers, because I did not watch the Planet of the Apes films, and I feel like I have to do it, because I heard they're really good, and Kingdom for the Planet of the Apes is something that, There's Rise of the Planet of the Apes, there's Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, and there's Kingdom for the Planet of the Apes. So I really need to, I feel like they're, I heard they're really good, so, but I'm gonna be talking about the Wicked trailer. The Wicked looks really good, from, like, and from Universal standards, because I remember, we got Oz the Great and Powerful, and which was made by Disney, and it was okay. It was okay, but it wasn't the story like Wicked. And I love Wicked. I like the story of Wicked. This, what I've seen, it looks really good. It looks really good. What I hope to see for the... Well, they said there's going to be two films for Wicked. Part 1 and Part 2. I don't get this whole, like, split into parts. I feel like it should be one movie. But, I will say this. I haven't seen the film. I've only seen the performance of Wicked. Not live in person, but, like, I've seen, you know, clips or, like, you know, the entire show online. So, if that's the case and they feel like, oh, like, every single part of that play is important, then I get that they probably want to have to split it in two parts. But I'll judge it for myself once I've watched two of the movies. So there's that. All I can say is I'm actually pretty excited. I'm actually excited to see this movie, and I hear a lot of people buzzing about Wicked. Like, they've been waiting for this for a long time, and I'm excited to hear the songs. Idina Menzel, like, will forever be Elphaba in my heart, but I can't wait to see, I forgot her name. The one who's playing Elphaba in the film, and then Ariana Grande as Glinda. So that is something that I remember, side tangent. There's this video, hold on, like, there's this video of these two guys, like, you know, saying, they're having an argument about the Wicked Witch of the West and the Wicked Witch of the East. I was like, hold up, her sister was a witch, and I was like, and what is her sister? A princess, the Wicked Witch of the East, bro. Are you telling me I'm wrong? Are you telling me I'm wrong? She came out, she wore a crown and she came out a bubble, Doug. Grow up. Like, it was so funny. Oh, man. Again, I just want to give a shout out to that video because it was so funny. Anyways, I'm excited for Wicked. I can't wait to see it. Anyways, now, let's move on to a little bit outside of the movie news, and let's go into music. Oh, man. Oh, what I got to say about this group. Okay, this came by accident. So there's this girl group called Le Sserafim, and if you don't know who Le Sserafim is, they're a K-pop group under HYBE, which is like the company that does like BTS, TXT, Seventeen, New Jeans, a lot of groups, and Le Sserafim is one of them. It was by accident that I actually fell in love with them. Now, like, my sister played the song called Impurities, and at first I was just like, okay, this is a good song, and then the more she played it, it became such a catchy song where, okay, I have to check out the music video, and then I check out the music video, and then I'm like, oh my god, they're like, they're really good. And then I look more into their content, and I dove deep, and then to the point I'm just like, I basically became a Fear Not. A Fear Not is basically the fandom name for fans for Le Sserafim. Le Sserafim is an anagram for I'm fearless. So basically it's spelled Lesserafim, which is an anagram for I'm fearless. And this group, this is who my bias and bias wrecker, and they keep switching back and forth. Chaewon at the moment is my bias, and Yunjin is my bias wrecker, and Yunjin's winning right now. Yunjin is like, Yunjin or Jennifer, she is really going up there as like one of my favorites, or my favorite member of the group, because she's American, or Korean American, and she's just so real. At least from the videos that I've seen, she just seems so real, and her interactions with fans, she felt like it was a responsibility for her to always be like, you know, always be warm and caring. But also, she's also like a dork. You know, I think she's the dork. She's the dorkiest of the group. She's the dorkiest of the group. They're all dorks. And that's why I love, that's what I love about this group. I haven't sensed the dorkiness from NewJeans, or I haven't seen a sense of the dorkiness from other K-pop groups. The only K-pop group that I sensed the dorkiness from was EXID. If you don't know who EXID is, or actually, let me change that. If you know who EXID is, you're one of the, you're the real ones. You're the real ones. They're not a well-known K-pop group, but they know how to perform, and they have some banger songs. But what I love about them is that they are a girl group who's also based, they're just dorks. They're really, really dorky in their own way, and it's so funny. So they reminded me of EXID, and that is a big compliment for Le Sserafim. So I sense that, and right now I'm just digging deep into the lore of like, you know, who they are as a person. Now I will say this: I want to make sure that even though I am a fan, I'm a huge fan of them, I want to make sure that I'm not so obsessed with them, because there are say in Hangul, in, there's a Korean term called Saesang. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but they're basically just crazy fans. Like, you know, they'll send them letters to, like, you know, but also they're like, you know, it can be very, very, like, super, super creepy. So all, like, and what I mean by creepy is just like they follow every single, like, you know, time, like, you know, where are they going? Oh, we need to, like, you know, like, they're like TMZ, you know. But if you, like, you know, you love them, but, like, you know, when they do something bad, like, you know, they hate them all of a sudden, and that is very unhealthy. So I just wanted to point that out. I don't want to be that kind of a fan, and I just want to make sure that they are respected as people. Like, here's the level of respect: I don't give a crap about their height. I don't give a crap about their feet size or their blood type. And, like, there are fans like that, that know, like, oh, they know their blood type and everything. No. I only care about them as a person, like, you know, care about them as people. They're just normal human beings that just so happens that they love to perform. And just so happens that they are huge. They're a huge group. I think NewJeans is on the top in terms of searched K-pop groups, and I think Le Sserafim is on the like, you know, just under them. Like, you know, I think NewJeans is a little more famous than Le Sserafim, but Le Sserafim is famous enough to the point where they could still have, like, you know, some sort of a life. NewJeans is just way over, like, you know, they're just so huge. They're like BTS huge. Same thing with Twice. But anyways, I could go on and on about Le Sserafim, and trust me, I want to go on about Le Sserafim, but I'm gonna save that for their album. I'm gonna talk about the album probably next week, because their new album called Easy, it's gonna be released on February 19th. And I'm just going to do a first listen, and then I'm going to listen to it again, of course. And then I'm going to give my thoughts on that. I think that will be probably the title of the video, depending on, like, what other news I'm going to hear. But that is it for the music part. I think that will just be it for the music part of it. But let's get on to what everybody has been, like, you know, talking about at the moment. And that is the Marvels. I'm just kidding. But I will be talking about the Marvels. I'll be talking about a lot of Marvel stuff. So I'm going to start off with the Marvels. Now, I did not watch it in theaters. Just to be clear, I put myself on hold. I did not want to watch this in theaters. It just didn't seem interesting to me. The trailers weren't interesting. I just, like, I did not know what the movie is about. So, when I watched The Marvels on Disney Plus, when it finally released on streaming, I gotta say, it was more enjoyable than I thought. I love the chemistry. I love the chemistry between, Carol. Yeah, sorry, I blanked out for a bit. Carol, Monica, and Kamala. Their chemistry, I just love seeing them having, like, you know, a bit of fun together and just, like, just trying to, you know, work out their powers. Like, how do they become in, like, you know, sync with each other. But I will say this, the quality of the film, it feels more of a TV show than a movie. And I will say this, Loki feels more higher budget than the Marvels. At least it looks more, like, the stakes of Loki felt more higher than the Marvels. And also, like, in terms of the depth of it, I don't know if that makes any sense, but, like, the depth and, like, you know, the danger, or, because they just had this whole reality binding thing, or, like, oh, there's a tear in the fabric of space-time, you know, that BS, like, that bullshit, like, of, like, oh, there's a tear in the fabric of reality of space and time, that yada, yada, yada. And then, again, if there's another generic villain, we try to, I guess there's some sort of sympathy, because she's from the Kree, but the problem with this movie was, I just felt like it. I feel like it would have been more effective if it was a TV show, because it felt very cramped, and it's very camp. It is campy at many moments, but I'm not gonna say that the heart wasn't there. The heart was there, and the heart, for me, was Kamala's family. Kamala's family was, I felt like they were the glue of this film. That they were, you took this normal family and they all of a sudden they went up into space. And what I love about Kamala's family is that it gives Kamala, like, you know, something to go home towards, something worth fighting for. It gives her the sense of, like, this is who Kamala is because of, like, you know, how her parents raised her. And the fact that they show much care is, like, hey, you better take care of our daughter. Like, you know, or I'll beat the crap out of you. Like, you know, that sort of thing. And I love that, you know. So, all in all, I think the standout to me was Kamala. And you know what? I will say this, Brie Larson as Cat. To be honest, here's what I think about the stars of the film. I feel like Kamala is the star. I feel like Kamala is the star of the movie. Then Captain Marvel, and then Monica. But I did love the moments. I did love the moments of Monica and Carol. Because of, and I know this is going to happen, and this is what happens in every reunion. I haven't seen you in so many years, and, like, you promised, like, you know, that sort of thing. It's a trope that's been played out for a while. I kind of want to see just a normal, like, hey, I missed you, you know, instead of just like, oh, you're just adding another layer of problems when we could have been more focused. It didn't feel focused. That's another thing. It didn't feel like a focused movie. Because I didn't know what's going on in some points. And all of a sudden, we're having a musical number. I think it's just to show off that, like, hey, Brie Larson can sing. She could sing. We got it added in there. Although, that dress, though. That dress? That's a beautiful dress. And I don't know who that guy is, like, in the, her husband, whatever, but that's not the point. Anyways, and then they have the post-credit scene. The post-credit scene was, like, I wasn't sure, because we're getting a lot of X-Men stuff, and I'm happy we're getting more X-Men stuff. We got Multiverse of Madness, and now we heard it from Kamala Khan. We're talking about mutations. And now we're talking about actual. We saw Beast. Like, we're not talking about Kelsey Grammer Beast. We're not talking about Nicholas Holt Beast. No, this is a whole different Beast. And you hear that, like, or I think so. Yeah, I think it's so. Yeah. So that's what we've seen. And that's how Monica is going to be there now, with her mom. So that is, I don't know what's that going to be in the future. I hope they tie it in, but that's not the point. The point is we have a lot more, more X-Men related stuff, really. So first. And I'm going to move on. So I'm going to give the Marvels 6 out of 10. No, 5 out of 10. It was half good, half meh. Yeah, so the Marvels, 5 out of 10. So whatever. It's whatever. But let's move on to X-Men. X-Men 97. I saw the trailer. Now, I will say this. I haven't seen the cartoon in a long time. I remember they played it as a kid on Jetix. If you don't remember Jetix, Jetix was like a Disney channel where you could watch like anime and like, you know, some cartoons. I watch it on Jetix. That's where you could watch Beyblade, Digimon, that sort of thing. And I watched I watched episodes of the X-Men. And I had no problem with it whatsoever. But as I revisited some clips of X-Men, the 90s show, it was a lot darker than I thought. Like, you know, there's a lot of, like, you know, in-depth, like, you know, conversations. And then when I saw the trailer, I was like, I got goosebumps a little bit. Just a little bit of goosebumps. Now, this Disney Channel show, X-Men 97... It will be released in March 20th, and I'm definitely probably going to check that out. We see that, like, you know, Professor Xavier, he passed away, and now we get to see, like, you know, the X-Men after that. So X-Men 97, I'm definitely going to watch. I'm curious of watching. So I wonder if Beast, the Beast that we saw in the Marvels, is the Beast in X-Men 97. Maybe. It's a bit of a stretch, but I'm excited to see. And I love the classic look. Does it look a little bit glossy? Sure. But I love how, like, it's not super smooth. I love how, like, the people are running. It's, like, they're running in, like, a very blocky way, but that's the feel of the cartoon shows in the 90s. So I'm glad that they kind of recreated that sort of a feel, and I'm very excited to see that. So X-Men 97, March 20th, can't wait to watch it. Now, what everyone was talking about during the Super Bowl, it was one trailer, and it already went over 20 million views within 12 hours. And I'm talking about combining both Ryan Reynolds' views and Marvel's views. Deadpool 3, or I should say Deadpool and Wolverine. Because I think that, like, if they call it Deadpool 3, it'll still feel like it was still under Fox. But because this is like an MCU film, they wanted to start with Deadpool and Wolverine. And what I love about it is, like, you can start fresh. Like, you don't have to... Well, some people might say, oh, you have to watch the first two Deadpool films films in order to understand this. I think that, like, watching this trailer, it just seems like, oh, this is a guy who looks like he has a mutation or cancer, and then all of a sudden he's just, like, having the time of his life, and then he's got pulled in, and now he's going to basically save the multiverse, like, in some ways. I think that, like, if you don't understand who Deadpool is, you're in for a treat. If you really don't know who Deadpool is, and you should, this is going to be a fun thrill ride. Now, a lot of people were upset that they did not see Hugh Jackman in full costume as Wolverine in the trailer. Look, first of all, there are a lot of leaks. There are a lot of leaks that have been running around, and you've already seen Wolverine, Hugh Jackman in the Wolverine suit, the yellow suit. And it looks badass. I'm not going to lie. The suit looks fire. The suit looks fire. But not just that. This is a teaser. This is a teaser trailer. Not the official trailer, but a teaser trailer. Teaser trailer is just like, you're just going to get a taste of what's to come. And what I'm tasting so far is, oh my God, I cannot wait to watch this movie. Like, oh my, my feet. We got a pegging joke. We got a pegging joke for Disney. Disney did a pegging joke that is made in history. In the history of Disney, they made a pegging joke. Thank you, Ryan Reynolds. Thank you to all. Like, so we have the TVA. We got to see TVA. Looks like the guy from Succession is going to be playing as Paradox. I don't know who Paradox is, but I'm sure I'll find out. The TVA. And we get to see a glimpse of, like, you know, the whole cinematic universe. And it's so, I love when things are meta, but I hope it's not too meta. But, like, you know, just a sprinkle of meta, you know, meta stuff. So, like, your little cinematic universe is about to change forever. Like, you know, and just the way, like, you know, like just the way he talks. Like, you know, pegging isn't new for me, but it is for Disney. And then just like, oh, and then like Wade Wilson. Seems you soiled yourself while unconscious. I wasn't unconscious. Like, that was a throwaway joke, but it was so funny. I didn't catch it the first time, but I watched it the second time, and it was just like, oh, now that's funny. That is a funny joke. Anyways, we see Pyro. Pyro was in X2. So I'm glad they brought him back there. Again, there's a lot of guns blazing, a lot of swords, and also the 20th Century Fox logo, the fight in there. I cannot wait to see this. Sean Levy, who did Free Guy, I think he did the Atom Project, and I think he was involved in Stranger Things as well. I'm not so sure. I don't know. I could be wrong. But anyways, Sean Levy, the direction, it just looks so good. It just looks so good. And the fact that it's called Deadpool and Wolverine, that means we're going to see a lot of Wolverine in this film. And I cannot wait to see this. I think Hugh Jackman is just happy that now he can go back to the diet that he wants to eat instead of the diet, the harsh. Like, look, to maintain a look like that, like, you know, to be Hugh Jackman and be all jacked and all that, look, that's hard work. And what I've learned from working out is 80% is usually nutrition and 20% is working out, or 75% nutrition and then 25% is working out. Either way, that's hard. But the fact that he was willing to go through that diet to make this film, it says a lot. Or maybe, I don't know if the money talks, or it's like convincing the Ryan Reynolds, his high convincing, his love for Hugh Jackman, and the fact, oh my God, I will say this, this is going to be, we're in for a treat, Now, my biggest concerns are, will it be too meta? How is this going to affect the MCU, obviously? And how is it going to stand out on its own as a film? Because I want to watch this film and be like, okay, this is a sequel to Deadpool 3, but I could still enjoy it. I could still watch this without relying on so much of the other films. Because each film that I've watched felt like... Like, Deadpool 1, obviously I could watch it on its own. Deadpool 2, I feel like I could watch it on its own. Deadpool 3, I feel like it needs to have the same thing. Even though it is a multiverse film, there's got to be some way of, like, making it feel like, okay, I could understand this, I could watch this, and I don't have to rely on other films, you know, in some sort of fashion. But it is an MCU film, so this is going to be, it's going to be tough, but at the same time, I'm just going to enjoy the hell out of this film. So, yeah, I am very excited for Deadpool and Wolverine. Bring it on. Bring it on. Part of me wanted to... to buy a Deadpool costume again, because, so, I used to have a Deadpool costume, or at least I made one, and now I want to have my own again, so, we'll see. Anyways, let's move on to the last topic, and that is Fantastic Four. We got our cast. So, here is the cast of Fantastic Four. So, what we got is, so here's, according to Marvel Studios, which is released on Instagram, Happy Valentine's Day from Marvel's first family, Pedro Pascal, Vanessa Kirby, Eben Moss, Bachrach, I forgot to pronounce his last name, and Joseph Quinn are the Fantastic Four. So Marvel Studios, the Fantastic Four, not Fantastic Four, not Fan Four Stick, but the Fantastic Four. So that is how we're gonna see the difference of it. Now I'm gonna look at the poster. It's very classic looking. This looks like it's taking place in the 60s, because a lot of people were doing, like, you know, speculations. So we obviously got Herbie. Herbie is a droid that the Fantastic Four had. We had, I think I pronounced it correctly. We have Pedro Pascal as Reed Richards. We have Vanessa Kirby as the Invisible Woman, we have Joseph Quinn as Johnny Storm, and then we have Eben Moss as the Thing, Ben Grimm. And Ben Grimm looks great. Joseph Quinn, I could see him. Seeing him as Eddie in Stranger Things, he is definitely going to be a great Johnny Storm. Now, a lot of people were sad that, oh, you killed off Eddie in Stranger Things, but now we get to see more of Joseph Quinn in Fantastic Four, and I am so excited we get to see more roles for him. I think we just wanted more Joseph Quinn. I think that's the answer. Vanessa Kirby, I will admit I don't know much about Vanessa Kirby, but I heard she's great. So Eben Moss, I loved him in Andor. I loved him in and Punisher. He was great in Punisher. And then I heard great things about him in The Bear. And I think is he in Succession as well? He's everywhere. Like, Eben Moss is everywhere. So all I can say is, like, I think he's going to be great. And if you heard me talk about Pedro Pascal as Reed Richards, the reason why I think he would be a great Reed Richards is because he can be played the serious type, but also in Game of Thrones, he could have, like a little bit of gravitas. So he could be serious, but because they are the first Marvel family, I think there's got to be a little bit of lightheartedness, or at least, like, Reed Richards should have, like, a little bit of lightheartedness. And then we've seen him in interviews and all that. He's just a fun guy. So you can count on Pedro Pascal to play Reed Richards. And now I will say this. I remember like Pedro Pascal, like, he has a beard. Like, you know, Reed Richards doesn't have a beard. Or, like, you know, like, oh, he's not white. Like, look. First of all, look at the comics. He does have a beard, and I feel like he should keep it. I think he should keep the beard, or like the facial hair. Obviously, when you see him as Joel in The Last of Us, like, he has, like, you know, the gray hair. So I think he's gonna nail it. I think he's gonna nail this role. And because Reed Richards is important, because he needs to play as the smartest guy alive, in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, or hopefully in 616. I've heard this on the John Campia show. And I'm gonna nitpick a little bit. If you're gonna build a cinematic universe, or like, if this is going to be whoever's going to be the face of the cinematic universe, you can't go wrong with Pedro Pascal. Like Chris Evans and Robert Downey Jr., they were the face of the MCU, including Chris Hemsworth and Jeremy Renner, we have Mark Ruffalo, and then Scarlet Witch. They were the face. They were the faces of the Avengers, or the MCU. So that is the level of gravitas they need in order to have, like, who is going to be the face of the MCU. So I think Pedro Pascal can do it. So yeah, I think I am so excited. I think this is going to be a period piece. I think that judging by the photos, at least the artwork, it looks like it's going to be taking place in the 1960s. And I think this is going to explain why we haven't heard from the Fantastic Four in a long time, is because they're the first Marvel family, the first superhero family too, that we haven't heard from them in a while. Because, and I think I've discussed this before, that they might have been left in the quantum realm. That was the discussion for a lot of fans, that they could have been in the quantum realm. They could have been in space. And because time works different in other places, that they could have been in space for a while, and then they could come back to Earth, and all of a sudden, like, things have changed. So they could be in space, for all we know. And that's why we haven't heard from the Fantastic Four. And I don't know. We just have to wait and see. But Marvel, look, please, Marvel, please don't screw this up. Please don't screw this up. Like, yeah, this is such good news with Deadpool. And then we have the X-Men. And then we have the Fantastic Four. Please deliver. Please deliver. Please, please, please. I'm begging you. Anyways, that is it for today. Thank you so much for listening. If you like this podcast, click follow whatever podcast services you are listening to this to. Share this podcast to anyone you know. It really means a lot. It really helps a lot. And until next time, so long, farewell, take care, bye-bye.